Helen is now going to bring this morning's Bible reading for us.
Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Helen. And now Hazel is going to bring the sermon for us this morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you. I'm going to start today with a little of the background of Paul, and really to start at the crucifixion. A man stood, weeping, and saw them take a body from the cross. He was a nobody, but a somebody in God's eyes. And he just witnessed the Son of God dying for the sins of the world. The man was a leper healed through the power of the man upon the cross. But he didn't understand why they killed his deliverer. And without a doubt, he knew the miracle maker and loved him. It was into this world of brutality and fear that a tent maker lived in Tarsus, a man of integrity, a Pharisee, whose name was Saul. No surprises this morning. It was into this world of brutality and fear that Saul tasted the evil of life and watched Stephen being stoned to death, a death that was victorious, which left many possibly wondering if Stephen had really known something that they didn't. It was into this world of brutality and fear that Saul worked persistently, determined to annihilate the followers of the way of the man Jesus, believing they were desecrating Moses' law. It was into this world of brutality and fear where Saul actually met the miracle maker on the road to Damascus, becoming blinded for a while, and where he found out the truth about Christ, becoming then one of the Lord's most ardent defenders, when his name was changed to Paul. I'm sure we've heard these stories many times before, but it's good to recall. And it was into this world of brutality and fear that Paul sat, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and wrote Romans. And it is into this world, this same world of brutality and fear, that we sit and read his words thousands of years after Paul became a martyr. I started my talk today a little differently because in our world of gadgets and gizmos, we can become bored, often tending to see passages in the Bible in this way, thinking we can bypass them or rush through them The life of Paul is interwoven over every word we look at in Romans. While he gave his all to the Saviour who died for him. In truth, if only our lives were as dedicated to the Lord as this man, it would be remarkable. The question is again, do we do him an injustice, as I said, when he prompts and nudges us through Scripture on how to live out our lives, embracing his words with a mere nod, instead of realizing that he was breathing out words of life, anointed through the Holy Spirit. Last week, Phil reminded us of endurance, and in this chapter today, Paul reminds us of holiness and the wholeness in the Lord. Not a way of living that is austere, but a way of life that is full on, sold out to a Lord and Saviour who is God's Son, the Creator of the universe, the miracle maker. Encouraging us that with so many pathways in life, unless we get it right, we could end up down a dead end, literally. Paul knew about grace, God's unmerited favour extended to all through his Son. Oh yes, had it not been given to Paul in such an amazing way, he not only rejoiced in it, but he could never forget it. What about us? He was so grateful, which is why he could encourage his readers to understand they must not think that by doing more wrong, they would receive a greater portion of grace. He knew that was impossible, wrong. And actually, he said something which was really strange, but it was responding to the last verse in chapter 5. He said, "You must be kidding." Paul was like us, a man who had sinned and had blood on his hands, but lived in joy and service and knew that through the Lord Jesus Christ, grace was real. And through his death, he had forgiveness. Prompting us to remember and to understand that as Christ died, we too have died to sin. Not a weak gesture on our part to do wrong when no one is looking, but a sacrificial step of love that we take to walk in the footsteps of our Saviour. A great analogy of a sinner crushed under a great pile of wickedness, but through the power and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that same sinner is able to stand on a high mountain of the Lord's grace. But reminding us too, as Paul says, that baptism wasn't just a significant happening, but an act to remind us we have left our sinful ways behind us. And we all do need a lot of reminding. Telling us that as Christ rose up from the grave, we were raised up with the Lord too, leaving our old life and its frail ways behind us. Colossians 2 says it very, very well. And having been buried with him in baptism, you were raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Paul had a love affair with Jesus, a sold out fervent desire to honour him in every way. He didn't just bow down as if to royalty. It was a laying down of his life to a Saviour he worshipped. Paul, writing on, puts the focus next on the Lord's resurrection. Vital for all of us to remember in this day and age, a fundamental truth and part of the tenets or principles of our faith. Corinthians says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Understanding also that as the Lord Jesus was resurrected, we are to consider we are resurrected too. All quite mysterious, but wonderful. And as his disciples, our home is in heaven now. So we must act that way. but with our feet firmly here on earth. This is the way we exemplify holiness in life, that shows us above the crowds, not to make us proud, but to depict the Saviour we love and to be the backdrop for the church in society. Ephesians again says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." And of course, Peter says something wonderful. He says, "Us, the church, you and me, are chosen, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." That is us. Words that are amazing. Royal, holy, priesthood. That's the body of Christ. Although another aspect of this whole mystery, an inescapable puzzle of the Christian faith, is that while we are truly Christ's servants, we are also truly free. Free to meet with the Lord regularly each day and to grow more like him and get ready for all the Lord has for us, and to choose to do right or wrong. Paul was preparing to go on to Rome, and he understood a lot of things about being holy and righteous, that it wasn't just sufficient to be holy or righteous, because that can turn into legalism. So we must be guided by the Holy Spirit. And a great parable in Matthew 25 reminds us of being filled with the Holy Spirit and being prepared. Tells us about virgins at a wedding with their lamps full of oil, waiting for the bridegroom to come, the Lord, while the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Some were wise, had planned well, ensured they had extra oil because they had no idea how long they would have to wait. But others had been foolish, very cavalier, with just enough oil, no extra. They all fell asleep, and time passed, oil was used up. So some found that they were without oil. So they left to get some. They were ill prepared and lost everything. While they were away, the bridegroom arrived, and they were shut out, no way back. The story is stark, but the reality is that preparation is key for us. We must today be inspired and directed, full of the Holy Spirit, and be ready for whenever the Lord is coming back. At the moment, we live with COVID and the situation around us. And some of us, maybe on black days, feel that we are marking time in the waiting room of life. But this is incorrect. We are precious, as we've learned, God's people, the church, struggling at the moment and at a crossroads. But we are essential and need to play our part. Listen for God's plan for the future while walking, in my words, in anointed holiness. We must not limit ourselves. We must aim to be full of the Holy Spirit and take a stand, although the journey may not always be comfortable. God is in charge, and our responsibility is to wait on the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, and be mindful of the Lord's power, demonstrating his truth, because he is coming back for a church that is righteous and walking his way. It is into this kind of world of brutality and fear, and to this kind of church, you and me, that the Lord is coming back for. And he is coming back. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "There is meaning in every journey that is unknown to the traveller. Let us pray that the Lord gives us a vision of what he wants in our lives and makes us bold to follow and serve him always on that journey in every way. Amen.